Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us, and if you can, you can join in the conversation here this evening. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and also we're certainly online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well. And lately we've been trying Periscope, and so we've got that up and running. Seems to be working tonight, so we'll see how that goes as well, trying to do some more with that. Well, let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have, that we can come together here this evening. And we just pray that we could be a blessing, that we could be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And use the program for your glory. Help us to point people towards Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, it's good to be with you tonight. I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we have been on the air last week. If you're listening, we celebrated 10 years on the air. So I was telling somebody, I guess we're starting our second 10 years on the radio. But it's been a privilege. It's been a blessing, and we're glad to be able to be with you. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, because we are a live program, I encourage you to give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you there. Well, I was going to look at something here, too, as we get started here. Number of things going on, but I thought I'd lead off with something a little bit different rather than some of the news and stuff that's happening in the world around us. There are some things in the Bible that we get a question about. And we had a question at our Friday night Bible study that I thought was rather interesting, and we spent some time with it. And so I thought I'd lead off with that here this evening. And the question revolved around, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? And did you ever think about that, what we're going to do when we get to heaven? There used to be a commercial that suggested that, you know, you'd float around on a cloud, strumming a harp, eating cream cheese. And you know, I mean, I love cream cheese, and harp music's not so bad, but after a few million years of floating on a cloud, eating cream cheese, strumming a harp, I hate to say it, but I don't know that that's something that excites me for a prospect of eternity, doing nothing but floating on a cloud, eating cream cheese, strumming a harp. And so there's a lot of misconceptions about what's going to happen to us, what God has in store for us, and so I thought tonight that we might look at a couple of things here. And of course, if you've got questions, feel free to call in. And we can even go in other topics and things. Like I said, 888-677-9673 is the phone number. But here's the thing. Right now, when we die, the Bible makes something very clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes this in verse number 6, he says this: "Therefore, are we always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." What he's talking about there is, right now, every single person that's listening, and myself sitting here, and everybody here in the studios, we have a body that's inhabited by a soul and a spirit. Now, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that we became a new creature in in Christ. In fact, later in the same chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And see, what has happened is that God has taken our old spirit, which essentially is spiritually dead, and that's been the case ever since Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God. The Bible, or in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you can read about that. And for time's sake, I'm not going to turn back there right now. But basically, God said that in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you would surely die, or you would die. And so they did die. They died that day spiritually. Now, physically, they lived for hundreds of years after that. But spiritually, they did die at that time. They were cut off. They were separated from their Creator, from their God. And you see that in Genesis chapter 3, where God comes in the cool of the day to fellowship with them, and Adam and Eve hide themselves in the garden, and God asks where they are. Now, God knew where they were. He just wanted them to admit. And see, God knows where we're at in our lost condition. He just wants us to admit it. When we admit our sin, we admit our lost condition, and we acknowledge the fact that we need a Savior, and we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things become new, which means we now have a new spirit that's a living spirit, whereby we can have fellowship with our Creator. That spirit is in our body as well as our soul. Remember, when God created Adam and Eve, we're creating God's image. Just as God is a three-part being, He created us as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. He formed Adam of the dust of the ground in Genesis chapter 2, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit, and he became, the Bible says, a living soul. And I look at the soul as being that thinking part of you, your will, your intellect, your personality, as it were. And so there we are, body, soul, and spirit. At the moment of death, because death is fundamentally a separation, your soul and your spirit are separated from your body. And that's what Paul's saying here. Absent from the body means to be present with the Lord for a believer. And this is only if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. For the moment here in this life, the Bible says we are separated from the Lord in the sense that we're here, not in heaven. And that when we die, the body stays here. We have a funeral. The body goes into the casket, goes into the tomb, goes into wherever it goes. And the soul and the spirit, though, have left that body, and they go to be with the Lord in heaven. So at the moment of the Lord's return, we talk about the rapture. We've talked about it on the show here, the catching away of the believers. Two excellent chapters for a synopsis on that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And at that moment, the dead in Christ rise first. That's the bodies of those that have died, but the soul and spirit of the dead in Christ come with him from heaven to be joined with that resurrected body. And then the Bible says, we that are alive and remain, that's those of us who are saved, who are alive. We're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. And this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortal body puts on an immortal body. And we're changed. Now, assuming that we go through death's door or the rapture here in the near future, somewhere here in the future, which is obviously going to happen to every one of us, if we know Christ as our Savior, the Bible says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and as I said in verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That means we go directly to be with the Lord. There's no having to go to some holding place. There's no purgatory here. There's none of that in the Bible. Instead, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are immediately going to go to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, that's what happens right now. So what happens when we get there? Well, for the best example that I can think of here immediately when we talk about this, is in the book of Revelation. There's some other things, of course, and we understand that we're going to have a fellowship one with another. We're going to know people. And before I turn over here to Revelation, it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know also, even as also I am known." And so we are going to know one another. We're going to be face to face with each other, and we're going to know. And remember when in the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples saw, I believe it was Moses and Elisha there, and they recognized them. And I believe we'll recognize those that have gone on before us. And when we arrive there, they're going to recognize us. And in that sense, it's going to be a wonderful thing. But we don't know all the details. The Bible is really, in some senses, kind of vague about some of these things. In fact, Paul, and I'll get to Revelation here in just a moment, but Paul says, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, and I believe he's talking about himself, and most Bible teachers believe that he's talking about himself sort of in the third person here, and he's talking about when he was, they tried to kill him by stoning him to death outside of Lystra, I believe it was, in the book of Acts. He says, "I knew a man," 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which are not lawful for a man to utter." Now, I believe that the reason he's saying that it's not lawful for a man to utter is that in our framework, in our understanding, in our zone of experience here in this world, in this life, Paul is simply saying here, it is not possible to express what he saw when he was caught up into paradise in the third heaven. It just simply was not possible for him to be able to express the things that he saw while he was there. Well, for that, let's go over to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll look at a couple of things here in Revelation. And this would be the very first thing that happened. Let's assume that the rapture, the catching away of believers, took place tonight, okay, or to, you know, however you want to say, or even tomorrow, whatever you want to say. But let's just assume that it took place tonight. Every believer then would be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, as the Bible says, and we would be with him immediately in the third heaven. There's a picture of that in Revelation chapter 4, where John on the Isle of Patmos is caught up in the Spirit, and he's caught up into heaven, into God's throne room. And I believe that he was brought forward into heaven, and he witnessed the events that take place during the tribulation that he records in the book of Revelation. So he also would have been a picture of the church as well, a type of the church, or I should say Christians, and being caught up into heaven. And he sees several things here. And so this is one of the first things that we're going to see. I think it was Fanny Crosby, who was blinded at birth. She wrote a song, something to the effect of seeing Jesus when she gets to heaven and knowing him by the print of the nails in his hand, which really is an amazing statement when you think about it. I can't think of the name of the song right off off the bat right now. Maybe it'll come to me. But you think about it, somebody who's blind, how do they know people? They know them by touch and by voice. And so how would she know, not having physically heard the voice of Jesus, but she knew the scriptures? And remember when Thomas said, "Hey, unless I can actually put my finger into the nail prints, I won't believe it." So she knows there's the prints of the nails in his hands, in his feet, and the print of the spear in his, or the indention where the spear went in his side, and probably the scars from the crown of thorns that was on his head. And she'll be able to feel the print of the nails in his hands, and she'll know that that's Jesus, even though she'll see him. And she writes about that in that song. It's a great song. But getting back here to Revelation chapter 4, we see the throne room of God, and we see angels that are worshiping God. There's four beasts, the Bible says, which are angelic beings that circle the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And then there's also the 24 elders that are there and a number of other angels. And also, as we go through Book of Revelation in chapter 5, it talks about here again the 24 elders singing a new song. In verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to open the book," or to take the book, and it's talking about the Lamb of God that they see here, who comes to take a book that's sealed with seven seals. And they sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And then there's a whole multitude of angels and others that are there that are singing. And so what we see here is we're going to be in the presence of God. We're going to be in the presence of angels. We're going to be in the presence of other believers. And we're going to worship God, praise God. But here's the thing. Are we going to do this for all eternity? Well, if you read through the book of Revelation, you see that there's different things that happen, and they don't stand there the entire time just singing praises. There's other things that take place, and the believers that are there in heaven are going to observe these things and watch these things that take place. But here's a clue to the eternal, or to what's in store for us in the future. Revelation 5, verse 10, and they're saying here about God has made us unto our God kings and priests, and notice this, we shall reign on the earth. Oh, wait a minute, I thought we were going to be in heaven for all eternity. He says we're going to reign on the earth. Well, let's flash forward through the period of the tribulation all the way to Revelation chapter number 19. And one thing here that we have is the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there's going to be food in heaven. I haven't been to a supper where they didn't have food. And we're going to be there, the bride of Christ. That's the believers in this dispensation. Friends of the bride, that's going to be Old Testament saints and such that are going to be there. We're going to return with the Lord at the end of the tribulation. We're going to come back to the earth. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and I've got a caller calling in I'll get to in just a moment here. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And goes on to describe the Lord Jesus Christ that comes. And then as we see this, it says in verse number 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And then he defeats the armies of the Antichrist. This is the Battle of Armageddon. It's the concluding battle of the tribulation period. Now, people think mistakenly that this is the last battle. It's not. There's another battle to come. But this is the last battle of the tribulation. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and the Antichrist or the beast, and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil is bound with a chain in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years in chapter 20. And then Jesus sets up a reign over the earth where he reigns for 1,000 years. Remember we read that in chapter 5 where he said that that we would rule and reign with him on earth? Well, that's on earth. Jesus Christ will rule over the earth during this 1,000-year period over what we call the millennial kingdom. We as believers will be a part of that messianic kingdom. We will have a role to play. Now, not everybody's going to be a governor, a president, or a king, or a prince, or a princess, or whatever. In a government, there's a lot of positions. Some people are department heads. Some people are clerks. Some people do this. Some people do that. When I was in the Forest Service, I was a part of the federal government. When I worked for the United States Forest Service, I was a part of the federal government. Small part, to be sure, but I was a part of it. And so we'll be serving in his government. Now, there's one more thing, and I'm trying to go quickly through some of this. At the end of the 1,000-year period, then the devil is loosed out of his prison. He stirs up one final rebellion, and this will be amongst those that were born to the people who survived the tribulation. And he'll stir up one final rebellion, and he tries to do this in Revelation 20, verse 8. And God defeats him. And verse number 9, it says that fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And then the devil is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Then there's the great white throne judgment where the unsaved dead are judged on the basis of their works and then cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And then the new heaven and the new earth comes in chapter 21. And in the new heaven and the new earth, it's really rather interesting. And I apologize for time's sake. I'm just going through this quickly. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there's the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from God. And I believe that that's what Jesus said to the disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 14, where he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I believe that that place that he's preparing for us is that new Jerusalem. And that's for the believers during this particular dispensation. That's where we're going to live. It comes down from God out of heaven. And the glory of God lights the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it in Revelation 21, verse 22. And I believe personally that it's going to be parked over the earth. Some people believe that it'll actually be placed on the earth as a very large structure, approximately 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, you know, wide and long and 1,500 miles tall. I personally think it's going to be a pyramid shape. And then it says in verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory of the honor of the nations into it, and there shall no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so the kings of the earth and the people on the earth will be the Jewish believers, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament, or the tribulation saints, millennial saints, and things of that nature will be living in that New Jerusalem. The angels will be in the third heaven. Remember, all of this, the heaven and the earth, is contained within God. They don't contain God. They're contained within God. And I believe that this is the new earth. It represents a new universe that God has placed, that will place us in for all eternity to explore and to learn and to find fascinating things to discover that God is going to give to us that'll occupy us for all eternity, more than just sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp, eating cream cheese. I think lots of things is going to happen. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I have Joyce, who's been on the phone waiting patiently, and we've got a few minutes left. Joyce, welcome to the program today.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Al. I think you kind of went over what I was going to say about
yes.
what we would be doing. And I think one of the first things that we will be doing would be standing before the Bema seat.
Oh, yes, I didn't even touch on that.
Yeah, for our works. And
yes, that's a reward based on our faithful service as believers.
Right. So that's the first thing we will done, and I think that's a perfect subject for tonight because we are so close to Christ coming, and we have seen so much happen until I heard a preacher say today that that a couple preachers had called him and asked him if we were in the tribulation now because there's so much happening. And so I think that's I think that's probably the first thing we will be doing is standing before the Bema seat.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that another thing is a lot of people think that they'll just wait until the tribulation and not take the mark. But there is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians that says God will send a strong delusion mm-hmm. that they believe the lie.
Yes.
So that's a dangerous thing because of the fact that if this is the day of grace and mm-hmm. this is the time to accept him, today is the acceptable time.
Right.
And a person would really be taking a chance to try to wait in order to do what, but this is the way the world works today. People want to do what they want to do.
Right.
And our country has absolutely turned away from God. So there's nothing else that has to happen before the tribulation. But I understand also that there could be some years before, after the rapture, that the tribulation happens because of the fact of the 7 years of bearing the rifles and things that are going to be used, especially in Gog and Magog.
Yeah, and just real quick, because we're running up on the break here, what triggers the start of the tribulation is not the catching away of the believers; it's the entering into the covenant of the Antichrist and the Jewish people. And then that's when the 7 years starts. I kind of think that some of the bearing and things that are going to take place is going to go over into the beginning of the millennium, personally. Because, when you think about some of the activity, things that are going to take place at the end of the tribulation with the Battle of Armageddon, there's going to be a lot of weapons and stuff buried there, too.
A lot of people understand, too, that those that are saved, and that during the tribulation, that's God's time to deal mainly with Israel.
Right.
The people that are saved during the tribulation will go into the millennium with their bodies.
Exactly. And they will be like we are today with the sin nature. Joyce, I hear the music going there, and I want to thank you for bringing up those points, especially the Bema Judgment Seat. They'll have the same sin nature that we have today, but you and I will not. We'll have the new body without the sin nature. So, I want to thank you for calling. I got about 5 seconds, so thanks for calling. Stay tuned for the next second half. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and that'll get you on the program here this evening. I'll also remind you, you can check us out livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Also on Facebook for Live with Pastor Al. Facebook, however that address works, for Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. And we were talking here through the break about our Periscope app. If you've got a smartphone, you can log on and find us on Periscope. And let's see, what is it? It's, I'm trying to see. I think it's Pastor Al Live on Periscope, I think is how it works, Live with Pastor Al. But if you're familiar with Periscope, you can find it. It's a smartphone application, and we're experimenting with that. We're hoping to be able to use that to basically just provide another way to reach out and reach more people. With the gospel, reach more people with our teaching, and be able to encourage more people through that. So pray for us that we can and make the Periscope experience better for people in the future. Also want to remind you, not only we brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. I have more information of that at the end of the program, but also brought to you also partly by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, and you can find them located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. They've also got calzones, stromboli sandwiches, wrapped Lebanese food, wings, a whole lot of stuff. And you can find them, East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. And if you're out of the area, out not in the Cleveland area, you say, why are you advertising them? Well, partly because they support us, but also because if you're out of the area and you would like to add pizza to your existing restaurant or start a pizza place of your own, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus. He can help you get started for a whole lot less than what you might think it's possible. It's not a franchise, and it's his own recipe. And believe me, it's good pizza. I just had some Thursday. It was excellent. And give him a call. East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. And you are listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And taking a look at a number of things here. We were talking in the last half hour about heaven and what we're going to be doing there, some of the things that we're going to be looking at when we get to heaven. I want to mention something, too, coming up. If you're in northeastern Ohio, let me encourage you to go to the Act for America Cleveland chapter website, actcleveland.org. That's actcleveland.org. They have a program tomorrow night. I think you can still get in on that. It's a free program. It's a Department of Homeland Security whistleblower. Philip Haney wrote a book, I believe it's See Something, Say Nothing, and talking about how Department of Homeland Security, they have basically told them they can't say anything about Islam with terrorist activity there. And it is going to be in Broadview Heights, Ohio. You can find out more at, I believe it's 6 o'clock, is it? Or 7 o'clock. I think it's 6 o'clock. I'm trying to see here if I can see the time here. 7 o'clock. There we are. 7 o'clock until 9:30. Doors open at 6 o'clock. That's where I got that from, at the Club Motor Estates in Broadview Heights. Check out the page, Act actcleveland.org, actcleveland.org. It's free, but you do have to have a ticket to, I'm sorry, I said it's free. You get the ticket, but it is $5 at the door. You don't have to pay when you get the ticket. I'm sorry, I misspoke there. It's $5 at the door, but you do have to get a ticket. And so you can go on to actcleveland.org and find out more. That's tomorrow night in Broadview Heights if you're in Northeast Ohio in the Akron-Cleveland area. All right, we'll get back to our program here. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And let's see, we have, I believe, Al calling in tonight. And Al, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good to have you with us.
Got a question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned earlier about Paul being into the third heaven when he was stoned.
Yes.
How did he know he was in the third heaven? And is the third heaven where God's throne is?
Yes to the last part of that, because that's what he indicates here. Let me give you a real quick rundown. The first heaven basically would be the atmosphere. Second heaven would be space, outer space, and the third heaven would be the spiritual realm where the angels dwell. Now, God has his throne there, what we were talking about in Revelation chapter 4, where John is also caught up there, and he sees the throne of God. Also, you can see that in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel is in the captivity in Babylon on the river Kibar, I think it is, and he sees the heavens open, he sees into heaven, and he sees God on his throne. How he would have known that he was caught up there, I believe it was God that revealed that to him. And as he went up into heaven, he saw, as he said, things that he wasn't able to unspeakable words, things that he could not utter, to describe all that he saw. So I do believe it was God himself that would have let Paul know where he was and the situation.
I used to hear expressions growing up here about, gee, they're in seventh heaven.
Oh, yeah,
I often wonder where that expression came from.
Yeah, I think I may be in error on this, but what was the thing, the guy that wrote the thing in the medieval ages about the levels of hell? I'm trying to think of that, if I can think of that offhand. It's a famous book, The Different Levels of Hell, and I think he also talked about the levels of heaven. And it's just slipping my mind right now. It's a famous
Dante thing, isn't it?
Yeah, Dante. That's right. That's very famous. Dante's Inferno. I think he had also wrote about levels of heaven, and not exactly scriptural. I mean, it was playing off from some things that are in the scriptures, because the Bible talks in Revelation 20 about the great white throne judgment, where people who go into hell are going to be judged according to their works, and what it is the judgment is not whether they're going into the lake of fire. That was taken care of because they died without trusting Christ as their Savior. What that's talking about is that they are going to have different levels of punishment in hell. And then our caller toward the end of the last hour brought up the point about what's called the Bema judgment seat, or the judgment seat of Christ, where believers, when we get to heaven, we're going to be judged on the quality of our works, not as to whether we can get into heaven or not. That was taken care of when we trusted Christ as our Savior. But as to the degree of reward in heaven, I think that's where that idea of the seventh heaven comes from, you know, seven being the perfect number, you're closer to God and all that sort of thing. But for people who heard the last half hour, if you didn't, I'll have it sometime this week on our website at livewithpastoral.com. And I talked about how in the eternal state, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the bride of Christ, that's us, the believers of this dispensation, will be in the new Jerusalem, and God's presence will be there. And then there's the Old Testament saints, the Jewish believers, the tribulational saints, the millennial saints that'll be living on the new earth, and we'll have a whole new universe to explore. I don't think God created the universe we live in now just to put a bunch of stars up there just for show. I think he had a purpose for it. And I think the new heaven and new earth will be, you know, cleansing what we live in now from the taint of sin. And I think that applies to the spiritual heaven where the angels dwell. And so our primary residence will be in the new physical realm, and the angels' primary residence will be in the new spiritual realm. They're talking about the believers and the believing angels. And so, of course, yeah, the seventh heaven, that's just kind of, you know, imaginary thing looking, I think, probably based on the degrees of reward. So,
because I don't know, just lately, I don't know, the older I get, the closer I get to God here, but sometimes I will look outside and look at a tree, you know, and I look at this tree and I says, you know, I can describe a tree, I can look at a tree, I can draw a tree, but I'll be, you know, how did God know to make a tree?
Yeah, and that, you know, that is the most amazing thing, because not only did God know to make a tree, he was able to make the things that make up the tree, not just the parts of the tree, you know, the roots, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, mm-hmm. and all of that, but also the very cells and the things that are in the cells, the chloroplasts and the mitochondria and the cell nucleus and all the different things, and then to make the DNA, which, you know, if you've listened to the program, you may have heard me mention, you know, we spend millions of dollars for decades studying space and the SETI program, trying to find a short sequence of non-random signal that would indicate a intelligent life out there in the universe somewhere. And when we look at the human cell, it is the most complicated, most incredible series of non-random information stored in the DNA molecule that's beyond our comprehension how that can be done. And yet they say, oh, that was all by chance. If we saw a really short, relatively blasé code of bit of non-random information collected from outer space, we'd say that's proof of life out there. But when we look at the most complex non-random information, the DNA molecule, we say, oh, no, that's just chance. No evidence of God here. Amazing, isn't it, how people think of things? But God had to do all of that. And then he had to devise the laws of nature, you know, gravitation, electromagnetic forces, the strong and weak nuclear nuclear forces, and all these things that govern how the universe works. And he put it all together. Amazing, isn't it?
Well, I want to thank you for your attention to the question here. And just to remind you, we were at the Summit County Fairgrounds, and we met there.
Yes. I thought you sounded familiar there, Al, and I appreciate you stopping by there when we were there in July. So, and it was good to meet you and your wife.
Okay. Well, thank you very much again.
Well, thank you. God bless, and thanks for calling. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al tonight, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have, it looks like, Rocco calling from Warren tonight. Rocco, welcome to the program this evening.
How are you doing, Pastor Al?
I am doing well.
I listen to you probably every week.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're like a real easy to understand person, and that's what a lot of people need.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and you know, I just pray that the Lord gives me the opportunity to be able to help people understand His Word, and that's I feel that's a large part of my ministry.
Well, you're doing the job.
Well, thank you.
I hate to get a little off track here.
No, that's quite okay.
But like, I'm probably older than you are, and I still don't know who the Lord is.
All right. You know, that's a good question when you think about it. And I try to give something rather short here. But, you know, if God exists, then, you know, he's either there's a lot of, you know, things that are put forward to claim to be God. There's Allah of the Muslims. There's, you know, the various gods of Hinduism and things like that. And so that's a good question. Who is the Lord? And I'm hoping I'm taking the question in the way that Rocco wants it here. But how do we know let's put it this way. How do we know the God of the Bible is the Lord? And there's an amazing little video that I saw recently, and there's a professor of physics in, I think it's the Hebrew University or University of Jerusalem or something. It's in Israel, and I'm trying to think of his name off the top of my head. First name is Jared, I believe. But he put out a little video recently that says that he would prove that God exists, the God of the Bible exists in 5 minutes. And he does a pretty good conclusion there. But basically, it boils down to something that I heard another guy say, Dave Hunt, who is with the Lord now. He's got some really great books. I mean, most of his books that I've read have been really top-notch, and I recommend pretty much his works. But he made a statement talking about God, and he said, when we look at the creation of in the universe and all that exists, we either have to ascribe it to an impersonal force with infinite potential, or a personal God with infinite, you know, a person with infinite power. And it's one or the other, and that's what this physicist did with his 5 minutes to show that God exists. He showed how that physicists today believe that because the forces of nature exist, I believe Stephen Hawking, who is acknowledged as one of the greatest physicists today, said that if the universe didn't exist, just because of the laws of nature, such as the law of gravity and things like that, the universe would come into existence from nothing. And that's what they believe. The universe would come into existence spontaneously just simply because of the laws of nature, the laws of quantum mechanics and things like that. Without getting too technical, basically, it would come into existence from forces that existed outside of the universe, apart from the universe, and are not subject to the universe, but they influence the universe. And, well, if you just substitute God for that, God has always existed. God is outside the universe. God is not influenced by the universe, but God influences the universe, and God created. And he said, in the beginning, let there be light, and all these things, and he created the universe out of nothing. And so you just put God in there, and you got a pretty good description. But who is the Lord? That's a good question. If we think about this, if somebody or someone is the Lord, we ought to be able to test it. And one of the places I like to go to for that is Psalm 19. It's one of my favorite psalms. And let me just turn back over there, Psalm 19. And if God exists and he wants us to know him, then we've got to assume that he's going to try and reveal himself to us in some fashion. And it says in Psalm 19, starting in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And what this is saying here is that the very heavens that we look at, when we look up in the sky at night and we see the stars, when we see the sun and the moon and all the things that are there, it says that declares the glory of God. When we look at the things on earth and we look we were talking earlier about a tree, and we look at the incredible beauty that we find in the world, and we look at the incredible detail and organization that we find in the cell and then the DNA molecule and all these things, the firmament showeth his handiwork. This is things that give evidence that there is a God, that there is a creator. The heavens declare him, and the firmament shows him, shows his handiwork, shows the things that he can do. This is day unto day utter speech, and night unto night utter knowledge. So every day, every night, you can see evidence that there is a creator. I had a professor in a senior level forced biology class, forced biology class when I was at Colorado State University in the early 80s, and he believed in evolution, and he said this at the end of the semester. He said, it's either a case of special creation, meaning that God created everything, or it's evolution. Everything appeared out of nothing by chance. He said, I choose to believe in evolution. He says, I don't choose to believe in God. So he made a choice by faith. So everybody's going to make a choice by faith. And when you make your choice by faith, it ought to be an informed choice. It's not blind faith. It's an informed faith. And when we look at the sky, it declares that there is a God. Now, how do we know which God? Well, the God that created the heavens and the earth should be a God that accurately describes the heavens and the earth, a God that actually describes what we can see, what we can verify. Many of the great scientists in the past, Newton, the father of modern physics, was a Bible believer, and he wrote more on theology and the Bible than he ever did on physics, and yet he's the father of modern physics, and his influence is still here. I mean, without getting into all the details, I don't have time, but he wanted to understand the God that created the heavens and the earth. Well, in this passage in Psalm 19, it talks about the sun as a bridegroom in a tabernacle. Verse 4, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. That's a dwelling place. Well, the sun doesn't wander around the solar system. It's at the center of the solar system. And it doesn't wander around the Milky Way galaxy. It's midway in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. It's not wandering around the universe somewhere. It has a dwelling place. And then it says, which as a bridegroom, talking about the sun, cometh out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Well, bridegroom comes out in his finery. The sun is coming out glowing with the, you know, which would be like, you could attribute that to beautiful clothes. And he's rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. Well, a strong man runs a race with just himself, right? No, with others. And the sun is in a race around the Milky Way galaxy with other stars, some going faster, some going slower. It says his going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Well, guess what? The sun is going around the Milky Way galaxy, they believe, at about 143 miles a second. Now, that's an incredible rate of speed. Doesn't that sound like somebody running a race? Other stars are going faster. Other stars are going slower. How'd they know that in Psalm 19? God revealed that to us so that we can know who he is. The God of the Quran says that the sun shrinks down and drops into a muddy spring, and it goes down through a subterranean chamber and pops up in the east in the morning. And then at night again, it goes into a subterranean spring in the west. Now, has anybody observed that? The Quran says that there are people who live there. I guess they wear sunglasses and a lot of heavy SPF sunscreen there. But nobody's observed that. Have any of our satellites pictured the sun shrinking down and going into a muddy spring? No. But all of our discoveries support what the Bible says in Psalm 19. That suggests the God of the Bible is the Lord, not the God of the Quran. How about in Greek and Roman mythology, where the sun was hauled on a chariot, remember? A chariot of fire with fiery horses that would ascend from a stable at night. It would be in a stable at night, ascend from that stable in the morning, and it would climb through the sky, and then it would make its course across the sky and then land in the west, and the horses would be stabled for the night. Interesting myth, but can we see any of that in reality? No, absolutely not. There's other things in the Bible. The Bible says the earth is hung on nothing. The forces of gravity keep the earth suspended. It's not on a post. It's not on the back of a four elephants like they used to think when that was written, and when much of the Old Testament was written. It wasn't on the back of four elephants that were standing on the back of a sea turtle that was swimming through the abyss of the universe. No, we don't see that. The earth is suspended on nothing. The forces of gravity hold it there, and the Bible tells us that. I would say that the God of the Bible is the one that is true when we compare him to other gods of other mythologies and things like that. And I think the Bible gives us evidence that, yes, he is the Lord. And then, of course, he came in the person of Jesus Christ to live here and to reveal himself to us, and then ultimately to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to purchase our salvation. He was buried and rose again, victorious over death and sin. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.
You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.